Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 8. I'm getting toward the end of the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. I will be speaking, Lord willing, tonight, and I will be in the first part of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. So I invite you to be back tonight at 6 for the evening service. And pray for me to have wisdom on the Lord's leading about preaching. Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to begin with verse 18. Remember, Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law, and that evening they brought a multitude of people to him with all manner of sickness and illness and demon possession. And Jesus was busy healing all of them. Verse 18 says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now note, the next verses deal with where they were going on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Father, we ask you blessings on your word today. And we pray that you'd give us the insight of the power of the Spirit of God. We are unworthy, O Lord, for the best of thy blessings. But we ask you for them because we know you want to bless your word to your people. So help me as your servant to help your people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we look today at this passage of Scripture that deals with Jesus leaving Peter's home where his mother-in-law was sick of a great fever, the Bible says. And he took her by the hand and lifted her up from her bed, and she was immediately healed. And then she immediately began to minister and serve her guests that were there in the home. And I pictured the type there that when we are saved, we should immediately begin to serve the Lord. We should recognize that God is the one who saves us from our sins and from the penalty of our sins, which would be to go to hell. And God delivers us from that. And God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to live within us and to guide us and enlighten us in the study of the Word, and to convict us if we do wrong so that we know to confess it to God and find His cleansing and His forgiveness. And so out of a grateful heart, We should serve the Lord. We should give to God. We should find a way to give our time and our energies in service to Him in appreciation for what He has done for us and what He is yet going to do in giving us a new body and a new home in heaven where we'll dwell with Him forever and forever. All of that is given unto us on the basis of faith, simple belief. But understand that faith is a belief that is convinced of a truth. And what we're to be convinced of is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That He is Lord, that He died for us, that He rose again from the dead, and He's alive forevermore. And we believe that because our salvation is based upon that gospel message or message of good news that is given for our salvation. Now Jesus departed from the multitude and went to the other side. There were various reasons for Him to leave. Several times He convinced the people not to tell everybody of what He had done for them and not to try to take Him and make Him king. He had a mission to accomplish, places to go and things to do. When He went to Samaria, He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Now most of the Jews would avoid Samaria. But Jesus went there to the well of Jacob, and there is where the woman came to the well who became a believer. She went back into the city and told everybody, and many came out and many became believers because of that woman. And Jesus had a purpose and a plan, and He knew ahead of time what He was doing in His foreknowledge. Now He has departed to the other side. He's got a mission. He's going to a particular place. He's going to the country of the Gergesenes. Also, this is an area called Gadara in the wide range of area. But right here by the ocean side or riverside, seaside I should say they call it, the Sea of Galilee. But it is a freshwater lake. And right by there are the Gergesene people. And there are two men possessed of many demons. And this is a stronghold of Satan. It could be that Satan was the reason for the storm, that he sought to kill these that were bringing the Lord here, and he knew what was going to take place, just like these demons within these men said, "We know you, Jesus, the Son of God. Are you come to torment us before our time?" They know that they're going to hell. They know they're going to be punished for all eternity. But they wondered if He was coming to punish them ahead of time. So Jesus departed to the other side. He's been in Capernaum at the north side of the lake called the Sea of Galilee. It is a ring of mountains around the lake that the drainage helps feed the lake, along with the Jordan River that comes in to the north end of the lake and goes out the south end and feeds the Dead Sea in the south end. Now the lake is fed by all this runoff and by the Jordan River, and it is being used by all the population that has grown in this area of Israel, and they've drained water out of the lake so much that it has lowered the level of the lake considerably. Now this lake is called by several names depending on the coastline of what is located there. It's about 8 miles wide and it's about 13 miles long. It is called the Sea of Galilee, but it is fresh water. It is 600 feet below sea level. It's 150 feet deep in the deepest points. The winds cause the ocean to white cap and the waves to increase. Well, this lake is so wide and so long that it acts like the ocean when a storm comes up and the waves become tremendous and the white caps become very visible and very available. A boat that is used here, like the one that Jesus may have been asleep in the hold, they found when the lowering by the usage of water and a drought for a period of time lowered the level of the lake that a boat was exposed that had been sunk there. And this boat was about 26 feet long. It had a partial deck with an underneath. And this could have been where Christ was asleep in the hold. And this would have hauled a good number, probably 16 sailors would be able to be on this ship that size. And Jesus crossed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to the east. And on this eastern northern side is the place of Gadara. Now, as Jesus got ready to leave, a certain scribe questioned him and said, "Master, I will follow thee wherever you go." And Jesus, knowing his heart and knowing him within, said, "The Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. The animals and the birds have nests, and the foxes have holes in the ground, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I don't own anything. I don't have a place for you to stay." And it would appear that this canceled this man's idea of following Jesus when he realized he would not have anywhere to be provided for. Another said, "Lord, I will go with you, but first let me go and bury my father." Now this sounds harsh that Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury the dead, come and follow me." He's saying, let the unsaved bury the dead. But if you're a believer in me and you want to be my disciple, then come and follow me. Now Jesus knew that many wanted from him the blessings of being with him, of being able to hear him teach, of eating of the miraculous feedings that he gave, and yet they were unwilling to pay a price to be his disciple that it would require. Imagine the hours. Imagine the dedication. Peter, James, and John left their father and mother and the boats and the nets, and they went with Jesus without anything. And the Lord promised them they would be rewarded greatly, just as he has promised you to be rewarded greatly for serving him and being a witness for him. When Jesus entered the ship, it is his disciples that followed him, the committed ones, those whom he had taught that they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. In John 10, Jesus said, "As the good shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father that is greater than I gave them unto me, and no man can pluck them from my Father's hand." When you get saved, when you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, then you're secure in the hand of God and the hand of Jesus Christ. And nothing can take you away from that. Praise God. Now, Peter's mother-in-law was redeemed and she immediately began to serve. And these disciples who believed on Christ, as he gave them opportunity to follow him and become fishers of men, these 12 were following him. Next, Jesus enters into the ship. And he goes and falls asleep, the Bible says, on a pillow. If you read the other accounts of this in Mark 5 and Luke 8, you find a little more information. You see, Jesus fell asleep immediately when they got in the ship. No doubt he was very tired after the healing of many at Peter's mother-in-law's house. And now he goes to sleep almost immediately. I would say that Jesus could lay down and go to sleep at any point in time when he had opportunity, because while everybody else slept all night, he was often up all night. He would be in prayer for their souls. He would be healing the sick and meeting the needs of people. And the Bible was very clear that when he healed the woman who had an issue, he felt virtue go out of him. It took something out of him to heal all these people. He was normally and understandably tired, like somebody who'd worked hard all day. And while others would rest, he was busy While others would eat, he would fast. And while others would sleep, he would pray and pray for his disciples that they fail not, as he had to pray for Peter. So a great storm arises. You and I are going to face many storms in life. And some of the storms we will face are because we are with Jesus, not because of anything that we're doing wrong. We'll face some storms just because we're human beings and we live in this sin-cursed world. Unsaved people face storms. We'll face storms. But we'll face some storms under the attack of Satan. And because we're serving the Lord, there are powers that want to work against us. The disciples had no idea they were en route to a satanic stronghold among the Gergesenes. Now remember, it was evening when the people came to him to be healed at Peter's house where his mother-in-law was. And now they've gotten on the ship and launched to go across at least an 8-mile-wide area. In nighttime, a storm suddenly came upon them. Imagine being on a sea that's 8 miles wide. And the waves get so large, they're coming over the bow of the ship. And water is coming into the ship. And the winds are blowing so hard, they no doubt had to strip the sails. And they're at the mercy of the storm. And it's at night. That'd be a scary situation for anybody to be in. I have gone out to sea several times fishing and in the military. And anytime we got in a ship or a boat and went out past sight of land, and you get out there and the boat turns around this way and that way and you can see the sun if it's up. But in a night storm, unless you could read the stars and they're probably clouded over that you couldn't see them, you don't even know what direction land is. And there's a feeling of being in a place of danger. And in my case, I always hear them stupid shows I watched on television called Jaws and Jaws 2 and Jaws 3. And they all play that boom, 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 boom. I can just hear that music when I get out at sea and can't see land and all that sort of thing. I think about it, I can swim. I don't have to worry. Yeah, but what about other things that can swim? Well, a great storm is upon them. And we're going to face great storms in life. Some of you have faced some storms that you hope no one else ever has to face. It may be a storm of your health. It may be a storm of your marriage. It may be a storm with your children. It may be a storm with your parents. It may be a storm financially. And it certainly has been a storm politically for us all to face what we're facing in our nation today and the division that is taking place because of it. Evening, at night, a great storm. The rain is immense and the waves are pouring into the ship. And the disciples are afraid they're going to perish. They're afraid they're going to die. And so they wake up the Lord. Mark speaks about the water coming in and speaks about them waking the Lord. Whatever God's plan is to use this storm and this situation, it is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he could simply speak the words and this great storm would become calm and the waves would become calm. And the people would admire the Lord and be amazed at his power to speak the word and have these things obey him. Satan could be behind this to try to destroy him, to discourage his disciples, to try to keep them from having the faith that they should have in the Lord. Now remember, when you read all the accounts, you find the Lord had told them they were going to the other side. He didn't say we're going halfway and there's going to be a great storm. He didn't reveal to them everything they were going to go through. And when you got saved, God didn't reveal to you everything that you were going to face in the lifetime of living for him and serving him. There are many storms that some of you have been through. And though you've went through storms, God has gone through them with you if you know Christ is your Savior. Satan's great stronghold here, the Bible says, two men possessed of demons. One passage focuses on one man and Christ expelling the demons and him becoming a believer and wanting to follow the Lord. And the Lord told him to go back and tell those of his household what the Lord had done for him. I hope when you got saved, you told the people of your household what God has done for you. I hope you call people and tell them. I hope you, I knew a fellow one time, he was a little bit crooked. He had been charged with stealing some stuff. He was a little crooked. He went to a Pentecostal Holiness Revival meeting and he got saved. And he put an ad in the paper and told people he got saved. You know, he wanted everybody to know he'd been forgiven by God. He wanted to be forgiven by them too, you know. And praise God, it gave glory to the Lord. And many of us foolishly do things that still give glory to God. And this gave glory to the Lord for his power. Now Jesus questioned his disciples' faith. Why are you afraid? I told you we're going to the other side. Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? They didn't try to speak to the winds and the wave in the name of God. They didn't get on their knees and have a prayer meeting. They didn't do like Paul did on the great storm he was in, Euroclydon, that the Bible names. He told the people to fast and pray, and they did for 14 days in that storm. And then he told them to eat something now for your health that you've fasted and prayed all this time. God has given to me the message for you that if you stay in this ship, none of you will perish. They didn't do that. They didn't seek that kind of help. But the Lord was with them. I think I'd have done the exact same thing the disciples did. I'd have woke the Lord up and said, Father, I'm sorry to bother you, Lord. But we're in a bad way here. Could you help us, please? You know. And these disciples were so excited. They anxiously awakened him and said, "We don't you care that we're about to perish?" Well, God knows what you're going through. And sometimes you get a little put out with the Lord. You want him to act immediately. You want him to act to help you with your problem. You want him to do for you what you want to be done. But never forget, God knows what is best. And you don't go through anything that the Lord doesn't know about it. Remind yourself, the hairs of your head don't fall out without God knowing it. And a bird doesn't fall to the ground that the Lord doesn't know about it. And nothing is going to happen in your life as the beloved of God that he gave his son for that he does not know is happening. But he wants you to pray. He wants you to ask. He wants you to bring your needs and petitions to him and believe the one who calmed the storm can calm the storm that you're going through in life also. They could trust his word that they would get to the other side, but they were fearful. Over and over, the Bible teaches believers, fear not. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, he told Joshua to be brave and have good courage. He was going to take over for Moses, and he was going to lead the people across the Jordan River and into the promised land. And they were going to have battles with all these nations that had taken up residence there on the land that God had given to Abraham. And many of them were so wicked, God was going to drive them out. And he told Joshua, "Do not fear nor be dismayed." Three separate times he explained this to him in about 15 verses of scripture. Now friends, if we're busy serving God, we do not need to fear, because we're serving the Lord and doing the Lord's business, and God has a reason to protect us and provide for us. Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea, and a great calm came, and they marveled at his power. Fear not. You don't have to fear. The Word of God has power over nature and over disease and over death and over sin. Soon, the Lord for us will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And those that are dead and are raised, he brings with him their spirit. And they will be revived with a new body just like we will receive a new body. And we don't have to fear what man could do unto us. We should meditate upon the word of God, as God said to Joshua. We should marvel at the power and authority of the Lord to overcome the storms we may face. And if we have spiritual fear for God and reverence for God, then we don't have to fear what man could do unto us. Christ is our master. He will see us safely to the other side, just as he did his disciples. We ought to give him praise and thanks and serve him out of our appreciation for all his promises and all his blessings. John saw Jesus resurrected in Revelation when he gave him the words to write for the book of Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. And the first thing he said to him is, "Fear not, I am he which liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore." When the angels came to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus, their message was, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, if I saw a choir of angels appear in the heavens at night, I'd probably be afraid too. And the angels said, "Fear not. We've come to bring you the good tidings of the Savior who's come for all people. Don't worry over the storms of life. Don't be afraid and fear. When you feel that coming upon you, remind yourself, I don't have to fear. I belong to the Lord. He knows what I'm going through, and I'm going to pray and ask for his help and believe that he will help me through my difficulty." And let's share the message to others. Let's help others look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now, many people would say of Jim Parrish, he's a peculiar person. But that word in the Bible means we are a possession that belongs to the Lord. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's your Lord and Savior. He's our soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is also our elder brother. We are now a part of the family of God, and our brother will look after us, provide for us, and keep us safe through all the storms that we're going to face. Don't worry and fear. Praise God for his goodness. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for all the blessings that you give unto us day by day. Thank you most of all for saving us by your grace and mercy and giving us the promise of a new body and a home in heaven and to live with you forever in the new heaven and earth that you're going to build upon this world. And Lord, we believe these things are true and literal just as much as your death, burial, and resurrection are. And so we claim those promises based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. Pharaoh had Jacob and his family come before him, Lord. And Joseph told them not to tell them they were shepherds because the Egyptians despised shepherds. But Pharaoh gave them the best land, the land of Goshen in all of Egypt, and praised them because he loved Joseph for what Joseph had done. And our God loves the Lord Jesus. And we're saved because of what Jesus has done. Let us give him praise and thanks and serve him all we can. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.